ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय This is Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter 2, Text 17. And this is prose, so it's...
It works.
Sri Shuka Uvacha.
Sri Shuka Uvacha.
Iti.
Iti.
Lalana.
Lalana.
Ananayati.
Ananayati.
Visharado.
Visharado.
Gramya.
Gramya.
Vitagjaya.
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 Paribhashaya.
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 Tam.
Tam.
Vibuddha. Patum
Vibhuttamatir
Adisa Bhajayam Asa
Asa
Sri Shuku Vacha
Sri Shuku Vacha
Iti Lalana Nunayati Visharado Gramya Vaidagjaya Paripashaya Tam Vibuddhavadhum Vibuddhamatir Arisapachayamasa Okay, we'll just chant that once because it's prose, it's difficult. Sri Shuka Uvacha Sukadev Goswami said Iti,
Iti
thus,
thus
Lalana,
Lalana
women,
women
Anunaya
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 in winning over Ati Visharadaha
very expert
Gramya Vaidagjaya
expert in fulfilling one's material desires
Parikashaya by selected words
Tam
her Vibhuttavatum the celestial girl Vibhuttamatihi
Agnidra
who possessed intelligence like that of the demigods Arisapajayamasa gained the favor of. Shukadeva Goswami continued, Maharaj Agnidra, whose intelligence was like that of a demigod, knew the art of flattering women to win them to his side. He therefore pleased that celestial girl with his lusty words and gained her favor. Purport. Since King Agnidra was a devotee, he actually had no attraction for material enjoyment, but because he wanted a wife for progeny, and Lord Brahma had sent Purvachitti for this purpose, he expertly pleased her with flattering words. Women are attracted by a man's flattering words. One who is expert in this art of flattery is called Vidanta. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manopistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadhati Shapadantakam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Patakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Shagrashatam Shahagana Raghunatham Vitam Stam Sativam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Shahagana Dalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhau Dina Bhanto Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Taptakam Shanagaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hoti Priye Panchako Pitarubhyascha Kripasindho Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shri Shuku Vacha, Iti Lalana Nayatihi, Iti Lalana Nunayati, Bisharado Brahmya Vaidagjaya, Paribhashaya Tam Dibhutta Vitum, Vibhuta Matir Adisa Bhajayam Asa. So, Vaidanta, flattery. The Srila Prabhupada comments that it's the nature of women to be attracted by flattering words. One time Srila Prabhupada had Hansadutta, one of my godbrothers, meet with some lady who was a politician. I forget what it was about, visas or something. And Srila Prabhupada gave different arguments about the issue. And then he said, and after all, she is a woman, flatter her. She's a woman, so flatter. Because women respond to flattery. If you tell a woman, oh, you look so nice today, you're so beautifully dressed, or if you say, oh, your face is like the moon, or something. All this love poetry and all these things, we say so many things about how beautiful you are, how attractive. Or if she's too ugly, if that wouldn't work, then you talk about how intelligent she is. Something, one way or another, to flatter her, so that because women respond to flattery, even if they know that they're being flattered, they like it. They like it. So in love affairs, the man has to say all sorts of things to butter up the woman, to flatter her, so that she'll respond favorably and he can enjoy sense gratification. Men also respond to flattery. Oh, you're so strong, you're so handsome. But women, even more so. Here it's indicated, sometimes in commenting on Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada sometimes comments from one angle, sometimes from another angle. So from one angle, Agnidra Maharaj is dismissed as being foolish, as speaking like a crazy person, as being totally bewildered by the so-called beauty of the woman. But here, this time, Srila Prabhupada comments that actually he wasn't interested at all. He had no material attraction, no attraction for material enjoyment. But since Brahma, Lord Brahma, had sent this girl, and the purpose was to get good children, as a matter of duty, he was flattering her so that the purpose could be achieved. That's an entirely different way of looking at it. But that's how Srila Prabhupada comments on Srimad Bhagavatam. Sometimes looking from one angle of vision, sometimes looking from another angle of vision. Srila Prabhupada said we should study Srimad Bhagavatam in this way, seeing from different angles of vision, and different, our appreciation will grow at different points that we can gather from each verse. So here, the commentary is in that spirit, that it was not a matter of sense gratification, but it was to fulfill Lord Brahma's purpose. Lord Brahma's purpose, as we've read previously, is he has an interest in seeing the population, good population, expand. We read in second canto especially, also in third canto, about Lord Brahma's efforts to create good population. Because the purpose of the creation is to give the opportunity for the living beings to fulfill their material desires and cultivate Krishna consciousness so that they can go back to Godhead. So Lord Brahma is the creator of the universe under the direction of Krishna. But it's not simply to create an empty universe. The universe is meant to be populated. Just like a developer, housing developer, his purpose is not just to build houses. His purpose is to see that the houses are sold, that people buy the houses and live in the houses. Just to construct empty houses is not his purpose. That's useless. People have to buy them and live in them. Then his purpose is fulfilled. So Lord Brahma also is not complete in his mission if he simply creates the different planetary systems and elaborates the structure of material nature. There have to be living beings who inhabit the universes so that the purpose of the personality of Godhead will be fulfilled. But we read in the second canto about Lord Brahma's efforts in this regard. He creates different suns from his mind and from other parts of his body. Lord Brahma is super powerful, but he doesn't have to create children the usual way. He can do it simply by meditation. He creates suns from his mind, from his heart. Nard Muni is born from the heart of Lord Brahma. But because he wasn't in perfectly pure consciousness, at some point he was creating demons also, and therefore he had to give up his body, or as the commentators say, give up his mentality and try again and create a better population. Finally, he creates Manu, the father of mankind. And that's a very pleasing creation. Then gradually, we're reading about the descendants of Manu. And we've come to Maharaj Agnidra, and still it has to continue. So the Brahma sent this Purvachitti, this beautiful Apsara, so that good population would be created. And we'll read about that in coming verses, how the different sons of Maharaj Agnidra are born to populate the universe with different dvipas or islands that form the Bhumandala, the Earth planetary system. That we'll read about. In any case, the point is, Krishna says, Dharvadi Runta Bhute Shukamos Nibharatam Shah. The sex life can also be used in the service of Krishna. Dharma adirudha, when it's not contrary to regulative principles. When it's contrary to regulative principles, then it's just cat and dog life. But when it's used according to regulative principles for begetting good children who can become spiritually advanced, who can become devotees of the Lord, then it's accepted as a representation of the Lord Himself. Alright, are there any questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
My question is, sometimes devotees give birth to demons.
Sometimes devotees give birth to demons, yes.
And sometimes demons also give birth to devotees. In this case, it creates some kind of friction in the atmosphere.
Some trouble. It does. It's not guaranteed. From one point of view, sex life is risky because our purpose is we want to get good children, we want to get devotee children or very obedient children, but we don't know by the laws of material nature what may happen. In the material world, nothing is guaranteed. And except it's guaranteed that the material world will be troublesome. So sometimes we're hoping for a good result that will give birth to good children. Sometimes the child is born diseased, or sometimes there are two or three or four children all at once. That creates a different kind of problem. Or sometimes the child dies early. Or sometimes the child doesn't turn out to be of good character. That happened in the case of Maharaj Bena. His father was very good, but his mother was not a very good character. So the child took the mentality of the mother and became demonic. And the father was so disappointed. So, or similarly, Prahlad Maharaj, he also took the, didn't follow his father's qualities. So Hiranyakashipu was very disappointed. The child has come out bad. He's simply interested in worshipping Vishnu and not bluffing and cheating and making progress in material life. So Hiranyakashipu was also disappointed. So sometimes it happens like that. That in a family of devotees, a child is born who's not very good. But at least as far as possible, we should try to follow the regulative principles and cultivate a spiritual mentality so that good children will appear. Nothing's guaranteed. Sometimes we do everything right and things don't work. You make an investment, you check everything properly, you see that all the papers are in order and everything's right, and still something happens and the deal comes out wrong. There's so many examples like that where you try to do everything very nicely, but material nature is built in such a way that there's no guarantee. But still, we have to try to do everything nicely as far as possible, and the rest is up to Krishna. Yes.
Krishna Maharaj, the scripture says that there are 8,400,000 species of life, and the human species is like 400,000. But last year, that the whole world is 7 billion people.
The whole world is 7 billion people?
So our more souls coming. Our more souls coming on Earth now.
More souls?
Yeah.
Okay, that's only a small calculation, 7 billion. They've only calculated some number of the human beings. But the human beings are the very small minority. There are trees, plants, Jalaja, Navalakshmi, Stavara, Lakshadvinshiti. There are so many aquatics, there are so many trees and plants. Then there are so many animals. There are so many different birds. So, if you calculate all of those living beings, how many are there? They can't count. When they do a census, they never count the number of ants, the number of mosquitoes, the number of banana trees, the number of cassava trees. They can't count. And then they say, oh, your theory of reincarnation can't be true, because otherwise why are the number of people increasing? But you can count how many living beings there are, even on this one planet, or even in this one town. Is that okay? Something else? Okay. Should we stop here? Be a little shorter today. It's some days longer, some days shorter. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.